Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
This is going to be a fascinating couple hours. Welcome back. George Norrie with you. Stone Wallace with us, author, researcher, film historian. Stone Wallace has been examining various film genres, including classic Hollywood favorites such as westerns, comedies, horror, and the war. He has published 20 books plus novels and nonfiction, stories, short stories, screenplays, scripts, and has written numerous articles for North American publications. He has conducted celebrity interviews with such legendary performers such as the late Anthony Quinn, Colleen Gray, Lloyd Nolan, Robert Stack, and 50s horror director Herbert Strock. He has attended the Red River College, the National Institute of Broadcasting, and Robertson Broadcast Academy. Stone Wallace on Coast to Coast. Stone, good job on the George Raft book.
Well, thank you so much, George. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And let me just tell you right off the bat, I'm thrilled to be speaking with you. I'm a longtime fan of your work. And as a broadcaster myself, I use you as kind of an inspiration to my own stuff.
Well, thank you for that. How did you decide to key in on George Raft?
You know, it's an interesting story. Maybe I'll go back a little bit. I've always been interested in the underworld, and it's very strange. I was quite young, and I was visiting my aunt and uncle, and they had a book on the 1920s, and I was just sitting there going through this book, leafing through it, and I came across a section on Al Capone and the gangsters of the 1920s. And what it was, I don't know, but something clicked in me, and I thought, boy, this is fascinating stuff. And from that point on, I just began, researching researching the underworld, the gangsters of the 1920s, the desperados of the 1930s. I became hooked on the Untouchables with my dad, watching that on Friday nights, the reruns, and just kind of grew from there. George Raft himself, I was not that familiar with, but I was in Chicago in 1972, the summer of 72. And there was a movie playing on the Late Show called Each Dawn I Die. Now, of course, I knew about Jimmy Cagney, and I was a fan of Bogart. But Raft, I really knew nothing about. But I watched this movie that night, and there was something about his presence, his character, that really struck a chord with me. I thought, boy, this guy's, he's got personality, and he's tough, and he's really tough. And from that point on, I began researching him. I found out he was a very fascinating man, and his career was very fascinating. So I can say, George, for over 50 years, I've been just kind of following him as much as I can and gathering as much information on Raft as possible.
I would guess, Stone, that if you understood Hollywood, most people would know the name George Raft. But what do you think about some of the younger millennials nowadays? They probably don't know any of that.
It's not just that, George, but when I was writing the book, and that was about, 2007, And people would ask me, so, well, what are you working on? What's your project? I said, I'm working on a book on George Raft. And inevitably, I'd get a blank expression. Who? Like, George Raft? Never heard of him. So I would say something like, well, are you familiar with the movie Some Like It Hot? Maybe, you know. And I was trying to find something there that they could relate to, but it was like nobody knows, you know, who I was talking about. And the thing is, as time goes by, I'm finding it's not just Raft, of course, but a lot of the big stars from that era, people today don't really know who they are. They say, well, maybe they recognize the name, but they would have no idea what their impact on film or anything was.
Exactly. He was born in New York and then passed away in Los Angeles. He lived 85 years.
Yes, and that's an interesting thing, too, because George himself mentioned on the last talk show he ever did, which was the Mike Douglas show, in 1980, and he was quite ill at that point. He was Mike Douglas asked him what year he was born, how old he was, and George was very happy to say, well, I was born in 1895, and I'm 85 at this point. Yet later on, they were saying a census had come out that said he was born in 1901, and that was becoming a controversial subject for a while, because some were saying that, but then you say, well, George would know his own age, and why would he lie and, you know, add 6 years to his life, but he was born in 1901. So even on his tomb, in his crypt, it says George Raft, 1895-1980. So I think he would know, but perhaps the census at the time, don't forget he was born in Hell's Kitchen, they might not have been as complete and thorough as they could have been.
How did he get pinned as a gangster-type mobster in the films?
Well, as you know, he grew up pretty rough. And when he was dancing in the nightclubs in the 1920s, most of these places were owned by mobsters. And he rubbed shoulders with a lot of the big names at the time, Dutch Schultz, Legs Diamond, the New York Bay Shots, particularly Oney Madden, who was almost like his mentor. It was actually Oney Madden who sent George to Hollywood to act as sort of a companion to Texas Guinan, who was the big star in New York at the time at the El Fay Club. And George went with her to Hollywood, where she was making a picture called Queen of the Nightclubs, and he played a small part in it. A lot of people thought he played a dancer, but actually he played a band leader in that, a very brief scene there. From that, he was trying to make a career in Hollywood, did a lot of bit parts, some dancing and stuff like that. And finally, he was noticed by a director named Roland Brown, who thought he would be ideal to play Spencer Tracy's bodyguard, a gangster, in the movie called Quick Millions. And that started him on the road to that type of role. From that, he, of course, went on to Scarface, and he was off and running.
It's truly a remarkable career. And the subtitle of your book is interesting, The Man Who Would Be Bogart. Tell me about that.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, we talk about Humphrey Bogart, who became the big star. Now, there's a lot involved in that, because George Raft had the opportunities that he passed on that Bogart took and made into legendary roles. So had Raft taken those parts, had he done Dead End, had he done High Sierra, especially had he done The Maltese Falcon, Bogart would have probably continued on as a great actor, and eventually probably would have found a good role for himself. Because I'm sure had Raft taken on The Maltese Falcon, he would have been given Casablanca, which, of course, cemented Bogart's stardom. But he wasn't considered, really, for Casablanca because he turned down so many roles that the producer Hal Wallace and director Mike Curtiz said, we want Bogart for this part. And that pretty much left, George on his own. And he left Warner Brothers after doing one more film called Background to Danger. He went independent and did pretty well for a while in the 1940s, but as the times changed, his style of acting wasn't as accepted by the public as it had been back in the 1930s and early 40s. And of course, Bogart ascended to superstardom, and Raft slowly kind of faded away into obscurity.
Did Raft ever win an Oscar or anything like that?
No. In one of the biographies, it mentioned that in the picture called Souls at Sea that he did with Gary Cooper, that he was nominated for an Oscar, but I researched that, and that's not true. No, he never received any type of award for his acting.
Was he one of Hollywood's greatest unknowns?
Not during the time he was uh, he was making the movies for Paramount and Warner Brothers. In fact, when I interviewed Lloyd Nolan some years ago, he said that at the time in the 1930s, although Raft wasn't a terribly, accomplished actor, he said that he was probably the biggest star in the Paramount lot next to Gary Cooper.
Wow.
And when Raft left Paramount to go to Warner Brothers, he was offered pretty much everything that was there in those types of roles. John Huston, the director, said everything was intended for George Raft back in those days. So he was big. The thing is, that's the thing. He could have been a major star. In fact, a friend of mine acted, acted in the movie What Price Glory with James Cagney and Dan Daly. And he overheard Cagney and Daly talking one day. And Cagney says, you know, if George Raft hadn't been so pigheaded, he would have been probably the biggest star in Hollywood.
Wow.
That's from Cagney.
Now, do you think when he walked down the streets of Los Angeles, Stone, people recognized him during that era?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. He was huge. I mean, people, that's what's really interesting about his career is that he was so big at the time that he became, you know, basically obscure in those later years. I mean, he would attend functions and he was the main celebrity, basically. He'd be going on a cruise somewhere with other celebrities and he'd be the one who'd be mobbed. And he was talking big names like Bob Hope and people like that, but people seem to gravitate towards George Raft.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
We had an intern working for us at our network, a great kid. His last name was Wilkerson. And his grandfather was the guy who started the Flamingo Hotel in Vegas that Bugsy Siegel bought out.
That was Billy Wilkerson.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
And the youngster was our intern, great kid.
Mm.
And George Raft knew Bugsy, didn't he?
Well, they were very good friends. There's one book I wrote on Bugsy Siegel where it talked about that they knew each other as kids, but that wasn't true because, you know, Raft was born in 1895 and Siegel, I think, was born in 1906. And they probably knew each other in their 20s and probably rubbed shoulders. But when Raft went to Hollywood, in 1929. Bugsy came, I think, in the early to mid-30s and immediately struck up an association again with George. And they palled around a lot together. They went to racetracks and nightclubs and things like that. So they became very good friends. And, well, then again, Bugsy was actually friends with a lot of celebrities in California at that time.
Yeah, that's right. And he got killed in Beverly Hills, didn't he?
Pardon me?
I think he got killed in Beverly Hills, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He got killed at the house of his girlfriend, Virginia, what's her name?
They shot him in the eye, right through the window.
Well, they shot him several times, actually. He got his eye was blown right out of his socket. So, yeah, Virginia Hill, I'm sorry, I lost her name for a second. Yeah, that was his girlfriend. And that was all because of the failure of the Flamingo Hotel at the beginning there, because he was in such a rush to get that casino, the hotel opened, that he opened the casino but not the hotel, and they had lousy weather that weekend that they opened the hotel, the Holiday, that they ended up losing a lot of money. And they also, the underworld who was financing the hotel, also felt he was skimming money off the top, because he was spending so much money to get this thing built.
Yeah.
So eventually they kind of just, they wrote him off the books, let's say.
They decided to do him in. Did the mob have an influence with movies in Hollywood?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It goes back to the Chicago outfit, Al Capone. He always wanted to move into the movie industry. Prohibition was dying out. The mob was looking for new ways to, increase their income, because they were losing so much money because of the prohibition coming to an end. So Capone ended up, of course, getting caught in the income tax rap, went to Leavenworth and Alcatraz. Frank Nitti and the outfits, they were in charge, and it was Nitti's idea to try and move into the movie business, extort money from the producers and studios. So he sent down a guy named Willie Bioff, who was just kind of like a cheap street enforcer and was a pimp, actually, and sent him down there to start using his influence to extort money from the studios and that, which he did pretty successfully for a while until they stood up against him. And then ended up that Willie Bioff ended up testifying against the mob, which led to Frank Nitti committing suicide because he was claustrophobic and didn't want to go back to prison. And Willie Bioff going into hiding, moving to Arizona, living under an assumed name, working as a grocer. And then in 1955, years later, he went out to start his pickup truck, and it was the payoff for Bioff, let's say.
Boom.
Yeah, the casino.
Interesting take. Now, with George Raft doing what he did, what did the mob want with him?
Well, not really that much with him once he became a star. When he first went to Hollywood, some of the people he knew in New York, like Larry Fay, who owned the El Fay nightclub in New York, he'd fallen on hard times, and he came to Hollywood and asked George if George would help him muscle into the taxi cab business. And George, of course, wanted nothing to do with that. He was clean, making a good life for himself in the motion picture industry. So he told Larry, no thanks, good luck to you and whatever. Larry went back to New York and ended up working in, like, owning a nightclub or managing a nightclub and getting shot by the doorman there some years later. So his career came to a quick end. And there were always, the hoodlums who kind of came around who wanted to, get to know George or, kind of hobnob around with him. And that was not a good thing for his career, especially, like I say, when his career started to fade in the 1940s after he left Warner Brothers. And that's when he was really quite heavily associated with Bugsy Siegel. In fact, when Bugsy was picked up on a bookmaking charge and George happened to be in the room and the cops busted in and arrested him, George wasn't arrested because he was just a better. He wasn't involved in anything illegal at that point. But he went to court and stood up for Bugsy. And following the court case, there's a famous picture of George and Bugsy. George has his arms around him, and they called that photo the kiss of death, because that was another thing that helped solidify the end of George's career.
Almost like the communist scare in those days.
Exactly. But then some people say, that proved that George is really a real-life gangster, because, here he is, he's got a photograph, he's got his arm around Bugsy, and they're both grinning at each other. And that was kind of like, He was and with the mob. But like James Cagney said about him, though, he said George Raft was of the underworld, but not in the underworld. And I think that's the best way to describe it. He knew people. He was on the fringes, I guess, in some respects, but he was never actually involved with the mob in any heavy-duty way. Except back in the 1920s when he was working as a dancer, sometimes he would run shotgun on beer runs for his friend Oney Madden and involved in stuff like that, but never anything that was, murderous, that's for sure.
Could you say the same thing about Frank Sinatra?
Boy, that's always been open to controversy, hasn't it?
I mean, he knew gangsters. There were pictures of him with gangsters and stuff.
Yeah, there's that famous picture of him. I think he's with, was that Carlo Gambino? Yeah, he was, I'm sure he certainly, again, he started off in, singing in these clubs that were owned by gangsters. And I guess those are, relationships that really never end. I think, once you're in with that, you probably have a certain loyalty to these people because they gave you a break at the beginning. And, you don't really give them a brush off. I don't think that's actually a wise idea anyway. But I think there's always that kind of a loyalty involved with that.
They're respectful to them.
Well, they're respectful to them, sure. Like George Raft never denied that he knew these people. And after Bugsy was killed, George Raft was quoted as saying, "I thought he was a wonderful guy." He said maybe he did things in his work that weren't legal. Maybe he, hurt people. But he says that was his business, not mine. I knew him as a friend. It wasn't anything to do with me. I mean, he certainly couldn't have been naive as to what, Bugsy was doing at certain things. But, he helped him financially as well. Pardon me. When Bugsy was in desperate trouble with the Flamingo, George actually loaned him $100,000, which he never got paid back because Bugsy was killed before he could repay the loan.
And that's got to be a fortune with today's money, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, he had to borrow on an annuity he had. And this is one of the reasons I think, George was very... Gary Cooper said back in 1937 when they were making a movie called Souls at Sea, he said, without going into too much detail about George's questionable friendships at the time, he said George is a little careless with his money. And don't forget George's, in later years, he said that I must have made about $10 million during my career. Part of the loot I spent it on gambling, part on women, the rest I spent foolishly, which is a wry understatement.
That is something else.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.